And now it's my pleasure to introduce today's moderator, our distinguished moderator, Joel Brinkley, professor of journalism at Stanford University, a former foreign correspondent for the New York Times, former bureau chief for the New York Times in Jerusalem, author of Cambodia's Curse, and he has several commentaries in the media, including the San Francisco Chronicle. Please welcome Joel Brinkley. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here again. And as you know, my name is Joel Brinkley, and I needn't describe myself further after Celia's kind introduction. I'll be your chair for today's program, The Kurds, Self-Determination, Human Rights. And we also welcome our listening audience on the radio and on the internet. And we invite everyone to visit www.commonwealthclub.org, and this will eventually be on that website. You know, in the media, we hear a lot about the Kurds, but only when it relates to something else that is of interest to the United States. The Kurds don't get enough attention in the media, in my view, which is why it's important that today we are going to hear from Karaman Maman Faraj, who's going to tell us about the state of the Kurds. They are, of course, in several Middle Eastern states and are otherwise stateless. You know, I've spent some time in Iraqi Kurdistan, where our speaker is from, I believe. Is that right? The closest thing the Kurds have to an autonomous state among the various nations that constitute Kurdistan. I was there during the early years of the Iraq War, and it stood as an island of peace and seeming tranquility while all the fighting was going on in the rest of Iraq. But what you don't know if you're a foreigner visiting is that Iraqi Kurdistan is actually ruled by two autocrats who are just as dictatorial as those of the other states where the Kurds live, Jalal Talabani and Masoud Barzani. I was interviewing him for a piece I was doing, and he offered me a cigar, and I don't smoke cigars, but I smoked one with him, and I didn't choke. On that particular trip, I was traveling with the Secretary of State. I was covering the State Department, and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and we were working out of the Republican Palace most of the time, and at the end of the evening, they sent us the correspondence to little tiny places in the back called transient trailers. And they were these little tiny things with a bed and an armoire, and I could stretch my arms and reach both walls. So I called home that afternoon and talked to my wife and my little daughter and said, I'm staying in a room about the size of a prison cell. Well, Charlotte, my daughter, was in the first grade, and she went to school and said, my dad's in prison in Iraq. That caused me a little bit of trouble. Well, as peaceful, as I said, as peaceful as Iraqi Kurdistan felt, when I began talking to people, I began to hear a lot of unrest about these competing dictatorial leaders. And in fact, the area around it is also still the subject of attacks, particularly from Turkey. And in fact, there was a Turkish attack into Iraq near Kurdistan this week for 2 days between the PKK, which the Turks consider a terrorist group. And also, I think we should put this in a larger context. The Kurds are probably the most prominent stateless group of this sort, but they are not alone. The Hmong in Burma and Laos, the Montagnards in Cambodia and Vietnam, the Basques in France and Spain, there are a number of these stateless groups who hold historical claim to a region, but who are denied it and usually persecuted by the governments where they live. But as I said, the Kurds are the most prominent. So Karaman is an Iraqi Kurd who was on the teaching staff of Koya University School of Law in Erbil, Iraq, which is part of Kurdistan. Right now he's a PhD candidate for International Legal Studies Program at the Golden Gate University School of Law here in San Francisco. He's a frequent speaker and activist on Kurdish issues and related human rights concerns, including an area he's studied a lot, and that is honor killings. That's a subject that deserves study. So, Karaman, welcome.
Thank you very much for your introduction. I thought Kurdistan regional government always friendly, and the Kurdistan is the most peaceful place for U.S. citizen. But I'm sorry you were arrested. And good afternoon. Thank you for attending. Amin Maalouf has once said, "My identity is what makes me unique and unlike any other. Killing a person's identity is a murder that is graver than killing him, as to Leila Zana. Every identity that is killed is, in fact, a loss for humanity. It should be known that every identity that is murdered is our own murder, regardless of what our language, religion, or identity might be. I came to the U.S. last year to master in English language. Upon my arrival, I found myself in the most painful, toothache warranting urgent treatment. I managed to find dental clinic, and there I meet one of the dentists. To my surprise, she asked if I was a Kurd. She then stated that she is of Kurdish origin but have never been to Kurdistan, nor that she knows how to speak that language. She is not alone. I must state this dentist case is one of the millions cases of those Kurdish individuals who have been forced to leave their country and loved ones and settled elsewhere. Dear all, during my stay in the U.S., I have come to the conclusion that Americans know not much about my people. Not only that, it breaks my heart to see people confuse Kurdistan and Kurdish with places like Kazakhstan or Pakistan. I'm so sorry, my friend Dana. Okay, as I mentioned, the first thing I am going to talk about the Kurds are people of Indo-European origin from Kurdistan with their own language and culture. Kurdistan means land of the Kurds and is located in the Southeast Asia in the mountains region between Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Armenia. The Kurds have been subjugated by neighboring people for most of their history. In modern times, Kurds have tried to set up independent state in Iran, Iraq, and Turkey, but their efforts have been crushed every time. Indeed, the Kurds have a convincing historical argument to territory. They have lived in their area for thousands of years. For this reason, other countries such as Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria cannot make a historical claim to that similar region. Moreover, the Kurds are ethnically and culturally different from those nations. They speak a different language, and while all groups are Muslim, they all practice different forms. Saddam Hussein thought that the Kurds were in the way in Iraq, and he supported them as a threat to the glory of the Arabs. For this reason, he carried out his massive genocide of the Kurds in his country. Exactly in 1987 to 1989, the Iraqi government carries out a genocide and failed campaign against Kurdistan civilians. of mass summary, execution, and disappearances, with the spread use of chemical weapon, destruction of some 2,000 village, and of the rural economy and infrastructure, an estimate 180,000 people are killed in the campaign. On 16 March 1988, Iraqi government airplane dropped chemical weapon on the town of Halabja. Between 4,000 and 5,000 people, almost all civilians, are killed. In addition, Kurdistan is a strategically important area for the Middle East because it contains important oil and water resources. That's why before the signing of the Treaty of Lausanne, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk misleadingly promised internal self-determination to the Kurds in Turkey. However, would soon deny the Kurds of their most basic human rights and concede racial assimilation and the banning of the Kurdish language and culture. During the years of 1928 and 1938, alone 17 Kurdish uprising took place in the Kurdish area of the eastern Turkey. All the leaders of the uprising were executed. Indeed, in the early 1990s, Kurdish ambitions for independence saw itself in the form of the leftist Marxist organization, which is called PKK. Still, for instance, closing down legal Kurdish political parties is a frequent occurrence. Dozens of legal Kurdish parties have been shut down by the Constitutional Court, and its members banned from political or given lengthy prison sentence for campaigning for greater Kurdish rights. In addition, Turkey has been strongly condemned on numerous occasions by human rights organizations. For instance, since 2009, in absolute violation of the most basic democratic rights or freedoms, the Turkish government has jailed nearly 9,000 Kurds, between them children, mayors, parliament members. Meanwhile, the Kurds in Syria are not recognized as an ethnic minority, and therefore, like the Kurds of Turkey and those of Iran, they are also deprived of any form of internal self-determination. Kurds are therefore deprived of their fundamental human rights, such as rights to nationality and identity, education, health, marriage, property ownership, and freedom of movement. In addition, the use of deadly force on the Kurds is common by the Syrian regime. Mysterious killing of Kurds are frequent, currently approximately 300,000 out of the estimate 1 million Kurds in Syria, whom Syrian-born denied the right of having a nationality. They are not recognized by the Syrian state as a citizen, and thus they are officially stateless people. As you know, Iran's government bases itself on the Shi'i doctrine of the Ayatollah al-Faqih, rules of the supreme jurist. Since the 1979 revolution, Sunni Iranians, about 9% of the Iranian population and the majority of Kurds, have rarely been included in the powerful government position. Political movement in Iran, Kurdistan, in Iran's Kurdish region, have constantly challenged the central government. Such as in January 1946, the Iranian Kurdish leader Qazi Muhammad declared Kurdish independent and named himself president of the new Republic of Mahabad. The central government of Muhammad Reza Shah quickly suppressed the government and publicly hanged Qazi Muhammad. Since then, the Kurds in Iran that are accused of being member of the political or separatist Kurdish organization are charged under Iranian Penal Code, which stipulates that taking up arms against the government may be considered guilty of mahrab or an enemy of God and sentenced to death. However, these articles are very largely applied on numerous Kurdish political activities, are accordingly executed each year under these provisions. On the other hand, Iraqi Kurdistan, or the Kurdistan region of Iraq that is governed by the Kurdistan Regional Government, KRG. In the beginning, internal self-determination was provided to the Kurdish in 1991 by the means of military action by the internal community rather than voluntary by Baghdad. Exactly at 1991, the people in Kurdistan rise up against the Iraqi government days after the Gulf War ceasefire. Within weeks, the Iraqi military and helicopters suppresses the uprising. Tens of thousands of people flee to the mountains, causing a humanitarian crisis. The U.S., Britain, and France declare a non-fly zone at the 36th parallel, and refugee return months later. Saddam Hussein withdraws the Iraqi army and his administration and imposes an internal blockade on Kurdistan. In fact, during the early 20th century, Kurds began to consider the concept of the nationalism exactly in this part of Kurdistan. For example, if you look in 1918, Sheikh Mahmoud Barzanji became governor of Sulaymaniyah, of a king of Kurdistan at that time under British rule. 1923, the Treaty of Lausanne between Turkey and the Allied powers individuated the Treaty of Sevier, which had provided for the creation of a Kurdish state. 1917, the Kurdistan Democratic Party reaches an agreement with Baghdad on the autonomy for Kurdish and political representation in the Baghdad government. By 1974, key parties of the agreement are not fulfilled, leading to disputes, which is called a fake autonomy. It's actually, there is no autonomy for Kurdish people at that time. All cities were occupied by military, and the local government is just represents the central government without having any authority with the internal issues. In 1992, the Iraqi Kurdistan Front and allies of the political parties hold parliamentary and presidential election and establishes the Kurdistan Regional Government for the first time in history. In 1994, power sharing argument between the PUK and KDP fall apart, leading to the civil war. Two separate administrations take place in this region. Then the Washington Agreement ending the civil war in Kurdistan. 2003 is a turning point in the Kurdistan regional government internal and international legal situation, because the Peshmerga Kurdistan official armed forces fight alongside the coalition to liberate Iraq from Saddam Hussein's rule. Subsequently, in the post-Saddam Iraq, the Iraqi Kurds have managed to gain a high degree of autonomy. As fixed by the new Iraqi constitution, the Kurdistan regional government currently administrates much of the Kurdistan areas of Iraq, and the Kurdish parliament exercises legislative powers. Iraqi Kurdistan post 2003 is a constitutionally recognized federal region with Iraq, and it enjoys broad international relations. The Kurds have also actively participated in the countrywide Iraqi politics. So, I think you have now got understanding of Kurds, right? So I have to go. Let me to move on the self-determination, which always a controversial topic is related to the Kurdish dreamers to get whatever they want. Self-determination, which is a right of self-determination, define it as a unilateral right to independent, was intended to apply outside the context of the decolonization. As you know, the right to protect one's identity became an increasingly important focus of human rights. Human rights models became the mainly helpful instrument for responding to the concern underlining the rights of self-determination. Afterward, self-determination has undoubtedly attained the statute of a right in international law, the adaptation by the many United Nations resolution and the majority of the world states have acknowledged the right of self-determination. Finally, governments and scholars from all regional and political sides accept the right of people to self-determination. There are no technical requirements for a non-self-governing territory to emerge as a sovereign independent state. There are four arguments in favor of the right of secede. First, the liberal democratic theory, any genius self has a right to determine its own political destiny. Second, a list of criteria that may be used in specific cases to evaluate secessionist claim. Then, secession should be approved by the international community if it promotes general international harmony. Finally, humanitarian on human rights concern, which is completely related to the Kurdish case. So, human rights law and treaties therefore support the idea that the self-determination is an inherent and legal right. So, after a brief lull in human rights violation following the end of World War II, human rights violation, especially genocide, seemed to appear again. Recently, the failure to provide humanitarian intervention in Africa, exactly Rwanda, is considered one of the worst international mistakes in recent history. 5 years after the killing began, President Clinton traveled to Rwanda to apologize for not intervening. And he pledged that the United States would never again fail to prevent such catastrophe. I think by this, right now, maybe the U.S. government has to interfere in Syria and protect civilians in Syria. Later on, many scholars seem to agree that, in general, the right of self-determination today is a legal right, but there seems to be disagreement on how far this right should be extended. And Professor Frank said that the internal aspect of the right of self-determination is the most important aspect of the right in the later 20th century. There is a wide range of opinions by which a people may choose to exercise self-determination. Where independence is a goal, approval of one group's claim to self-determination automatically rejection of another group's opposing claim of territorial integrity. Thus, the neighboring state of Turkey, Iran, and Syria view the Kurdish aspiration to statehood in Iraq as a risk to their own territorial integrity, as in their view, this is likely to influence their own Kurds. Dear all, internal conflict, war and suppression have disturbed the dynamics of living in Kurdistan. I feel grateful for being among those who survived these years of war and oppression that Kurdistan had to go through. When I was born, the war between Iraq and Iran was declared, and as a child, I was too terrified to witness all the pictures of war victims and casualties seen live on TV channel. The Iran-Iraq war was soon followed by the Iraqi military shifting its target against the Kurds in the northern part of the country. I find it too difficult to forego the genocide operation of Anfal that was merging outside my home. I'll never forget what witnessed looking through the house window, people arrested, tortured, then put into a big trucks destined to an uncertain future. Mothers have been waiting for over 24 years for the return of their abscesses. One cold afternoon post-Second Gulf War marked the darkening period for the whole country. Saddam and his regime decided to explode the oil fields in Kuwait. In the meantime, the hope was found from top of the mountain. The Peshmerga, Kurdish fighters, to the cities and uprising in the city against Saddam's regime, which lead to the firing of Kurdistan, which lasted then than a month. The regime reoccupied all Kurdish cities, and thousands of people were killed. Millions of families, including my own, fled to another country. War never stopped, and it's kept taking different shapes in our lives. Fighting between Iraqi military and the Kurdish political parties. Internal conflict between Kurdish and political parties themselves. Extra, extra. The entire country started suffering from poverty and starvation. Finally, I'd like to say self-determination is frankly argued to be a legal right. It is not accessible to all people and its application is not obvious. For example, for the Kurds whose homeland of Kurdistan is divided mainly between those states or countries, in the current war arena, the right of self-determination has developed in the legal inherent right and may well have become a rule of jus cognos, and thus is viable to all people, including the Kurds. And without the support of the great powerful nations such as the U.S. and the Kurds will most likely never establish an independent Kurdish state. Those countries would not be ready to quiet their economically important territory to people will probably continue to fight the Kurds. The Kurds have no choice but to continue struggle until achieve self-determination. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for your listening.
Thank you. Now we are going to begin the question and answer period. I'm Joel Brinkley, as you know. And we have a lot of questions, so I will ask the questions and our speaker will respond. One question, I'm going to summarize several questions I got. Are the Kurds Sunni, Shiite, or another Islamic sect, and how many Kurds are there in that region?
Actually, Kurdish large popularity, they are Sunni, but we have Shiite, Shi'i, we have Yazidi, we have Kakai. Kurdistan region is actually diverse region for having a different kind of ideas. Some ideas it's belong to Islam, but if you look at the daily practice or format of the what they are doing, it's completely different what we have actually in the Islam tradition.
Okay. One in the audience wanted to know more about honor killings, which is one of your areas of research. What do you think it would take to reduce the number of crimes, and how long will it take that to happen if it ever does happen?
Actually, it's a great question regard to what's going on human rights exactly in Iraq. Unfortunately, recently I read an article that tells after withdrawing the U.S. Army in Iraq, honor killing increasing, which is mean if you compare with the whole image about the human rights in Iraq, the situation, it's not okay. Honor killing has a historical roots, which is not related exactly for the religion, or it's kind of a culture background. We have a long history with the honor killing, but what we have actually in Iraq, and exactly as a modern state, the penal law in Iraq or penal code, like other countries in the Arab world, they support honor killing. But if you compare right now Kurdistan with other parts of Iraq, the situation completely changed exactly in recent years. Why? Because we changed the penal code. We don't support those people they kill women by, which is we call honor killing. And then we set up a new program which is related directly to the Kurdistan Regional Government Prime Minister Office. Almost 400 police officers working with the hotliners and they are ready to go wherever or whatever related to these cases. I mean, if you compare Kurdistan in recent years, exactly in last 3 years, the honor killing is completely reduced. But unfortunately, the situation in other parts of Iraq still it stays because the panel called support killers, and there is no and government serious strategy to fight this problem.
All right. Another member of the audience wants to know why you decided to come to the United States to study, and having been here a little while, what's your impression of the place?
It's kind of a personal question, actually.
Personal questions usually produce more interesting answers.
Exactly. Actually, as I mentioned at the beginning, I started my English in San Francisco, which is maybe is a good place for learning not just English, a different language. And it's too late, but I got a scholarship, and that's why I came. I actually chose the U.S. because in constitutional classes, we always inspired by the constitutional law, and we always inspired by the civil rights movement in the United States. And actually, United States is, I think, the best country to study because it's not about study because you can't get whatever you want online right now. But living in the U.S., it makes sense in the point that you see how this system working. What means the government? What means civil rights? What means media? What means people's rights? What I think United States, you can't see United States in outside of the United States. You have to came to the United States to see whatever going on in the United States. Actually, in some point, United States inspired me, and that's why when I came to the United States, still I am trying to find, because whenever you came to this country, it doesn't make sense that with the pictures that you already have been seen on the Hollywood. This country is completely different, but still is a great country to get whatever you want because you have a chance. The great point in this country is right now, the power in this country is upon on the diverse. That means if you came to this country, it's easy to get a chance to get involved and to get whatever you want. It's a great country to find your chance.
Well, good. So within the areas, Iraqi Kurdistan and perhaps some semi-autonomous areas in other parts of the region, are there minorities like Christians, and how are they treated?
Excuse me, as my understanding, do you mean inside Kurdistan or?
Inside Kurdistan.
Actually, if you just make a picture very simple, in last 8 years, almost 600,000 Christian people were fled in other parts of Iraq. And 50% of them, they came to Kurdistan and they set up in Kurdistan. And right now, 200,000 Christian people came from other parts of Iraq and they live in Kurdistan. And Kurdistan right now, it became a very peaceful zone for Christian people. For example, if you are a teacher in Baghdad and you lost your job, if you came to Kurdistan, it's not like you don't have to make and fill out 1,000 application. You'll get your job directly or automatically, and you get all supporters, and your life completely safe. That's why Kurdistan region right now is became a good sample for tolerance and to show the different picture of the Iraqi people for the rest of the world.
All right. Could you discuss a bit about the situation of the non-PKK Kurds in Turkey? How are they treated?
Actually, as I mentioned, the situation in Turkey still is not okay because as we saw, the hunger streak reached a high point right now because still Kurdish people, it doesn't make sense. You have more than 20 million of population. Just you say, I am going to make a reform by giving them 6 hours TV show. Those people already, they have money. Right now, we have more than 20 international channels. The world is extremely changed right now. For those people, they need basic rights. You have to change everything and to give whatever they want. You have to put and to change the education. They need education by their language. They have to do whatever they want to do in the courtrooms by their language. They need the basic rights. It's not just about statehood. Still, they are fighting for the basic rights that, like a language, culture, music, and don't be like a second level or second citizen. You have to be a first class because your population is more than 25 million. That way, the situation in Kurdistan still is not okay, and it doesn't make sense for the rest of the Kurdish people there.
All right. Here's a little more challenging question. Most Muslim countries follow Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, yet whether it's Shia Muslim or Sunni Muslim, the bloodshed is still rising out of conflicts in these Muslim-dominated nations. Where do Kurds stand in this scenario? I guess it's sort of, you know, Salafist Muslims and Muslim extremists causing trouble. And how does it stand in the areas you control?
Actually, this area is not separately completely from Iraq. And since the American withdrawal, as I say, the situation for civil rights or human rights is not okay. And right now, I think it's okay to say, like other neighboring or the Muslim world in the general, Iraq population is becoming more religious and more conservative and more assertive. That's why, from my understanding, situation maybe in Kurdistan a little bit different, because we have in Kurdistan for almost 20 years, it was ruled by two secular political parties. But still, I think Kurdistan is not separated from the rest of Iraq. And still, we are challenging with which is called conservative and Salafism in Kurdistan. But the situation, a little bit, if you compare with other parts of Iraq, is extremely different in some point, regardless to the civil societies, civil rights, media, and women rights.
How are Kurds who are not violent treated in Turkey beyond the 6 hours a day of your language television? I mean, do they feel persecuted or discriminated against?
Do you mean right
in
now?
Turkey?
Still for Kurdish people?
Correct.
I think they don't feel that they get whatever they want. Still, they think they have to fight in. Still, they are. For example, if you look at what they need exactly for the peaceful and non-violence demonstration and like hunger strike, the demand is very simple, just about language, culture, and not treat people and not kill people, because still killing, it's you have a daily attack on some places on Kurdistan. I mean, if you look at the demand, it's very, very simple if you compare whatever the EU needs for Turkey to do for their people. Still, 20 million people inside Turkey, they are looking for get the right to use their language in the education and in the daily life. I mean, the situation still, it needs maybe decades to resolve if Turkish government working in this way. It has to be working in a different way. The situation, it's not very complicated if a Turkish government completely understands what the Kurdish people need.
Do you think you'll ever get there with the government, the Erdogan government that's in place now?
Excuse me?
Do you think you'll ever achieve what you want and need in Turkey with the Erdogan government in place?
I think maybe in some point, if you look at the Turkish government structure, is not just about government. Still, we have a strong military influence on whatever government wants to do. in some point, if Erdogan wants to do something, maybe it's not easy without the permission of the military powers in Turkey. That's why I think 4 years or 10 years, it doesn't make sense for whatever Erdogan wants to do for Kurdish people.
Is the Kurdish language related to any neighboring language? Where does it come from? What is it derivative of?
Actually, Kurdish language always, we say it is a kind of sister language with the Persian language. But if you see in Kurdish language, it has own roots because it's really this language, it's like other language had a lot of different dialects. And all of the dialects, sometimes it doesn't make sense for other parts. Yeah, we have a Kurmanji, Sorani, Haurami, Luri, Zazai, all different dialects. But as a political situation, like right now, Sorani dialect, it became like an official language for the Kurdish government and for Kurdish people in this part, because we have been using this dialect for almost 20 years with all official documents and media and everyday speaking. That's why I think Kurdish language, it has own roots and it has a different, many different dialects, but which is close with other languages like Persian in the region.
Okay. What, in your view, is the United States government friendly to the idea of Kurdistan, of a larger Kurdish state, or is it just not saying much of anything? Of course, we can recall that the United States military maintained a no-fly zone over Iraq for 10 years to protect the Kurds as much as anything else because of the slaughters after the first Iraq war. But how do you view the U.S. position toward the Kurdish people today?
Actually, it's a good question. It's like a million-dollar question for Kurdish people, because if you see, we can ask, is the U.S. government can do whatever want to do in the Middle East? For example, if you look at the Iraq war period is longer than World War II period for the U.S. It takes more than 8 years. But if you see right now, the package about Iraq, it's completely forgotten. In the U.S. media, all discussion, if you looked at the presidential election campaign, Iraq is filed. It's disappeared completely after you sacrifice more than 5,000 people and the war cost more than a million lives with more than $2 trillion dollars. It's meaning the U.S. government can't to do whatever want to do. I think right now the U.S. government completely understands the situation and the legitimacy for what Kurdish people want to do. But still maybe want to working with whatever Kurdish want to. But right now, still in Kurdistan, the situation for be and self-determination in the statehood format, it's controversial between leaders and peoples. Still, all political leaders seem that we have to stay with whatever we get already. Don't go forward. The situation in the Middle East doesn't allow us to go more steps. But the Kurdish people, they are still seeing for see the futures that they have been dreaming with it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct. And this is not the first time this has happened in the United States, where there was a war, very controversial war, and many people in this country thought it was the wrong war to fight, and it's over, and nobody wants to hear about Iraq again. And I think you may remember, some of us, right after the Vietnam War, suddenly the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia and killed 2 million people, and the State Department knew about it. But the United States, the last thing it wanted to do was get involved in Southeast Asia again. I mean, this is obviously a much less serious situation, but the concept is the same. All right. So among the countries in the region, are there any that are advocating, whether or not there are any Kurds living in the countries, that are advocating a Kurdish state?
I think, do you mean that any country supports the Kurdish dream for?
Yes. Any, are there any countries that publicly advocate in favor of a Kurdish state?
Excuse me, make me clear for me. Do you mean the countries Kurdistan located, like Turkey?
Any country in the world. How about that?
You make the picture. Actually, do you know we have, because right now, the situation exactly in Kurdistan, Kurdistan is a part of Iraq federal system. I think it's clearly in public city, it's not easy. Maybe some countries, they support the Kurdish people strongly. For example, right now, Kurdistan regional government has a very powerful internal national relation, if it makes sense. For example, right now, almost 30 consulates in Erbil. Some consulates more and much activated as embassies in the Baghdad. For example, if you look at the French consul in Erbil, it's more. If I went to the French embassy, what kind of consulate? I'm sorry, not embassy. It was located in a very tiny building in Baghdad, was surrounded by the bodyguards without having any activity, for example. But if you look at the French consulate in Erbil, which is located in the heart of the capital, it has a variety of activities with all parts of the Kurdistan. And in international relation, sometimes the leaders of the Kurdistan regional government, they were invited as a president of the country. And right now, Kurdistan has more than 50 contracts with oil companies around the world. And right now, in Kurdistan, we have two international airports, which are more active than other airports in Iraq. In this term, if you look at the de facto, they deal with a Kurdistan like a state. But exactly if you've seen in the publicity to support, because right now to be an independent state for Kurdish people, it doesn't exist for the Kurdish demand in this part of Kurdistan. We're still working on the federation format in Iraq and to improve it, whatever, because we have a different format for the federation in all countries around the world. Maybe Kurdistan regional government is a kind of unique format for having an international relation and improving every day.
Does any country that has an embassy in Baghdad have a consulate in Kurdistan?
Yeah, actually, yeah. We have more than 25 consulates in Kurdistan.
Well, that's a statement.
The last one, U.S. consulate, U.K. consulate, more than 25, as my information.
Good. As a Kurd, can you comment on the recent U.S. election? Do you think the Kurdish people support the current U.S. administration?
Current U.S. administration?
The past one and the current one, which are the same.
It's a really good question, because right now in Kurdistan we don't have such kind of survey. For example, in U.S. we always have a survey and you know whatever. That's why in Kurdistan if I'm giving any information, it doesn't make sense exactly. For my point of view, as I've seen, I'm always thinking that the idea, which idea is serve the peaceful solution for the all problems in the this region. I think maybe some leaders, they always appreciate with a Republican and with a previous president. But I think maybe people right now in Kurdistan, they want more peaceful. And the presidents that want mobilize the region, not divide the region. Mm-hmm. That's why maybe I think maybe according to the comments on the Facebook, all Kurdish young people, they like the current president and they appreciate with the result right now in U.S.
Well, I would suggest that perhaps Kurdistan and other places like it don't have polling, because if you poll people, you're going to find out that they don't like their leader. Do you think the Kurds can join the Turkey alliance against Iran?
It's really like a hypothesis question. But I don't believe so. I don't believe so Kurds won't be allied for any war in the region. We are not like a state. Still for the defense or for the big picture of the Iraq, we are part of the Iraq's defense strategy. That's why Kurd doesn't have a right now to be allied for any status in the region whenever they are on the war. I think Kurdish, they want actually, and the situation doesn't allow Kurd to do what any and to move forward in this point. But still, we are as a part of Iraq, and the defense is which related to the central government, and the last decision came from Baghdad, not from right. Kurdistan.
Right. Why do you think that neither the Ottoman Empire nor the British, when they occupied the region, established a Kurdish state?
I think they won't establish it. If you look at the Lausanne and Sivir, they allowed to have a Kurdish state at that time. But it was not exactly easy for them to do whatever they want to do for Kurdish people at that time because the situation, it wasn't clear at that time. Mm-hmm. Because the situation in Kurdistan completely different in which is we have right now. Kurdistan were completely divided between which is called emirates or groups. We don't have the format that we have seen right now. It means some part of Kurdistan completely related to the Ottoman Empire at that time, and some parties were in Iran's side. It wasn't okay, and exactly oil, after finding oil in a Mosul province, it makes a situation more difficult because the oil, it was sharing between the winner of the war. It means British and France want whatever we want without look at the Kurdish dreams. That way, after finding oil in this part of Kurdistan, they decided to divide Kurdistan for whatever they make sense for those powers, regardless to whatever Kurdish want at that time. It means mm-hmm. oil has a great influence for what's happened for Kurdish people in history.
What I wonder is, given the oppression that Kurds in Turkey face, and the relative wealth of the Kurdish area in Iraq, why don't many more Kurds from Turkey just move to Kurdistan and Iraq?
Actually, the situation is depend because it's not easy to move to leave your home and stay in another country. The situation is not simple like this. It's mean. Because Kurdistan region is just about 4 million population or almost 5 million population, but we have 25 million people. And it's not just about this. How many Kurds we have in Istanbul? How many Kurds right now we have in Baghdad? Maybe more than a million Kurdish people live in Baghdad right now. It's not just situations that you move some parts of Kurdish people to another parts of Iraq. Still, we have a big campus in Mahmur, which is related to Kurdish people from Turkey, they came to find a peaceful place to live, and it makes sense for their everyday life. But situation, I think, it's not kind of easy. It's kind of humanitarian case.
What do you see ahead for the Kurds? I mean, if you had to look ahead 25 or 30 years, where do you think, what do you think will have changed, if anything?
In a next 25 years, do you mean?
Roughly. I mean, it doesn't have to be to the date, but...
In which term do you mean?
Do you think you'll be closer to an independent state or greater rights and recognition of your people, or do you think it's just the status quo is going to continue?
It's a good question. It's actually, there's no concrete answer for this question, but you can say whatever you want to see in future. Right now, for example, I am working on the paper to see, to find a confederation. Is a confederation make sense for a future solution? Not just about Kurdistan. Right now we have a problem. Still Cyprus, Nigeria in the future. It's not just about Iraq right now. For example, lots of people say the federal system in Iraq is completely failed. Because after almost 8 years, still we have a problem with the sharing oil revenues, forces, and some areas, and like a dispute areas between Kurdistan regional government and Iraqi government to decide for the future of this area. I mean, after 8 years, we can't solve those issues with the federal system. Right now, maybe we can, and if you say maybe state or statehood is too high, because the situation in the region, it's really sensitive. If you look at the Middle East dimension, it's really complicated. If you want to declare statehood, it's not easy step. That's why maybe right now we can thinking about confederation as an alternative for what's going on, as a like a alternative for is statehood is too high and federation doesn't make sense. We can think and looking forward for make a format which is called confederation between those countries. And maybe Kurdish in future becomes a part of the next confederation in the Middle East.
That would be quite a feat. So what do you think when you finish your work here and you move home, what are you going to do and why? What do you hope to accomplish?
It's a good question, actually. I have my plan, but I won't share all of
Well, just the best parts.
The best part, actually, I want to go there and share whatever I learned here, like in all different points, how academic atmosphere should be, and civil rights and civil organization, how they have to work and how they can serve people. And what means the political situation? And what's the role of government? And what's the role of the individual in the system? I think right now I have a little bit idea about how all the terms, exactly media, we have a really different understanding for the role of the media in the U.S. The media, public transportation, everything, if you have seen before, is different right now, what we right now see in the U.S., exactly in the point of media, civil rights, academic atmosphere, and political process, I think I have a chance to learn a few and whenever I go back and share whatever I learned.
Okay. I'd like to remind our listening audience that this is the Commonwealth Program with Karaman Maman Faraj called The Kurds, Self-Determination and Human Rights, and we're going to move on to our last question. And that is, what is the status of gay and lesbian people in Kurdistan? A good San Francisco question.
Yeah. And actually, is you asking me before, what's your future plan? Maybe in the future I'm want to focusing on doing research on the gay right in Kurdistan. Because it's really, there's no any signals for their rights in Kurdistan. It's completely under... It's covered. There's no information, and you can't. It's not easy to find who's a gay community in this community. Maybe situation in the case related to the killing or tortures or following them. It's maybe much much better if you compare with other parts of Iraq. Exactly what's going on right now in the some parts of Iraq for killing gay people. It's kind of became a social trend. But in Kurdistan, the situation much better in this point. They are not killing them, but still it's not easy to find who's a gay community in Kurdistan and who's their rights. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Karaman Maman Faraj, student of international law at Golden Gate University. We also thank our audience here, as well as those listening on the Internet or elsewhere. I'm Joel Brinkley. Now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California celebrating over 109 years of discussions like this one and is now adjourned.